Stacey Vanek Smith.
Robert Smith.
I am so excited for this trip. Let's make sure we have everything. We have our tickets, right? We have airplane tickets.
We have our tickets.
We're flying into Kansas City, Missouri, and then we're driving into Kansas.
And we're renting a car.
And we have hotels where?
In Wichita.
McPherson, Kansas.
And Omaha.
And Omaha.
Yeah.
And we have found somebody who will sell Planet Money 100 barrels of crude oil.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was a long journey.
It was a really long journey. In order to buy crude oil, Planet Money had to register as an official purchaser of oil in the state of Kansas, and we had to find middlemen, we had to find truckers, we had to find a refinery willing to take our oil.
And then there was NPR management. They kind of freaked out when we took this idea to them. They were like, what if you spill the oil?
Yeah, an NPR oil spill sounds terrible.
That sounds really bad. Also, what if you can't sell it? What are you going to do, take 100 barrels of oil and stack them in the office?
But we worked it out. We have finally worked it out. And Stacey, look what I got.
Why did you get a briefcase?
So that I could make that little click.
And what's in the briefcase?
Look what's inside.
That is a stack of hundreds. How much money is this?
$10,000.
I'm holding $10,000.
Of NPR's money.
I've never held this much money in my
Here,
life.
Give it
I
back.
Could run outside
buy
a
give
car.
It back. Give it back. I'm putting it back in the briefcase. Let's go buy 100 barrels of crude oil.
Let's do it.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Oil is one of the biggest economic forces on Earth. It has driven industrial progress and technology. It has shaped our civilization. And it's an intimate part of our lives. Oil is in our phones, our clothes, our food, our medicine. Oil has given us all of these gifts. But it has also exacted an enormous price. Dealing with climate change and getting off of oil are two of the biggest challenges we face as a planet. In spite of all of this, most of us have never even seen oil in its raw form. And even though oil companies are some of the biggest businesses in the world, it is really hard to get inside of them. The whole industry is sort of veiled in mystery. Here at Planet Money, we thought the best way to see into the business of oil would be to get into the business of oil. Today on the show, that is exactly what we're going to do.
Over the next few episodes of Planet Money, we are going into the oil business. We are going to buy a tanker full of crude oil. We are going to transport it. We are going to sell the oil, refine the oil, and ship it through a pipeline to its final customer.
Your gas tank.
To your gas tank. Now, you know, if we had done this story, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we would be flying to Saudi Arabia and trying to do a deal with them.
Yes, and we would also need a much bigger briefcase.
Because, of course, oil was more expensive then.
Yes, exactly. But these days, the biggest producer of petroleum in the world is us. It's the United States. Over the next 5 episodes, we are going inside the U.S. oil business.
We're going to meet the people and make the deals ourselves.
In cash.
In cash. First step, we have an appointment with a preacher in Kansas.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from our Planet Money sponsor, Discover. You check things all the time, like your email or social media. But Discover asks, what about checking something as important as your credit score? Well, Discover makes it quick and easy with the Discover Credit Scorecard. Discover is the only major credit card to offer FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And once you know your FICO credit score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
I'm going to be honest with you. I came to suspect that this project we were doing at Planet Money was cursed from the very beginning, because everyone kept saying no. No, we are not going to sell oil to you. No, you can't do that. No, that is not physically possible.
Finally, a Kansas oilman named Jason Brun said yes. He had a tank full of crude oil that he would be willing to sell us. Also, he's a pastor, so we figured we could trust him. And we booked our tickets.
Then, over the 4th of July weekend, we got bad news about our oil tank.
It got hit by lightning.
It got hit by lightning?
Yeah, and it burned the oil up. So there was nothing left.
Was there a fireball or what happened?
Yeah. It burned for 2 or 3 hours, and tanks that are split in half and the tops are blowed out of them, and it ash everywhere. And all the trees around it, the few trees that are around it are burned up, and it's just burned up. It's ash. It looks like a forest fire.
We seriously talked about giving up.
But a few weeks later, Jason called us up and said he had another well with oil that he'd be willing to sell us. So he gave us directions to a cow pasture close to the border of Kansas and Oklahoma.
So it's Friday morning in Wichita, Kansas. We get up, we are ready to head down there, and this is what we hear.
We are cursed.
We're cursed.
It is pouring rain, and the oil truck that was going to haul our oil calls us up and says, no way are we going to be able to get our truck into that muddy field to get your oil.
Yeah, but we go anyway.
Oh.
Oh, there's cows. Oh, wait, there's a lot of cows.
You know, I think I was picturing some barren wasteland with oil derricks as far as the eye could see. But in Kansas, the oil wells are really charming and beautiful, actually.
Oh, they're coming this way. All right, go.
No. They're tucked into these vast fields of wheat and corn. And so Robert and I drive down this long, straight road.
All the roads in Kansas are precisely straight.
That's true. And we veer off into this prairie grass through this herd of black cows, and we find Jason.
Hey, good to meet you, Jason.
Yep, nice to meet you.
He is a big man with an outlaw's beard. He's standing next to his red pickup, and next to him is this rusty machine plunging a metal rod into the mud.
So what are we looking at right now?
What are you looking at? Oh, that's a pumping unit.
A pumping unit, mm-hmm. Just like in the movies. It goes up and down,
yeah.
Looks like a...
like a teeter-totter, I've been told. But and other people I've heard say it looks like a big hammer. But to me, it's just a pump unit. I've been looking at them since I can remember. I was 4 years old, so it's always been a pump unit to me.
This is where our oil is coming from, out of this well. Although, I have to say, it looked a little rough around the edges.
It's a little janky.
But Jason tells us it has been running for 40 years, almost as long as he has been alive.
Jason's done just about all the jobs you can do on an oil field. He was a roustabout, which is basically like a handyman. He's drilled wells. Then he's taken wells apart when the oil ran out. And on Sundays, he preaches the gospel.
I'm not your cookie-cutter mold for a preacher. I'm probably not your cookie. I know I'm not your cookie-cutter mold for an oil producer.
He's been doing this since he was a kid, traveling from well to well with his grandfather. When he was 23, he had his first accident.
We were working on a well, one of my grandpa's wells, one day, and I stepped over beside the rig and grabbed a chain and hooked the chain up, and he tightened into it with about 10,000 pounds of pressure, and my hand was between it and the piece of metal, and metal doesn't give.
Wait, what did you do? I mean, you just screamed, or what did you...
You know, I said, ah! And then my grandpa loosened off the brake, and whenever he looked at me, I said, let's go to the hospital. And he said, no. He said, let me see it. And I said, no, it's bad. I'm messed up. I lost my finger.
Jason holds up his hand. It's this big, strong hand. And there is a stump where his middle finger used to be. But the point of the story isn't actually about his finger or even being careful on oil fields or anything like that. Jason tells us the story because he is still amazed at what his grandfather did after he dropped Jason off at the hospital.
And he said, well, I guess you don't need me to go. We're going to go finish up. Is that all right? I said, that's fine with me. So he went
back to the site?
Yeah, he went back and finished the job. So they worked that night till about 5 o'clock at night. My grandpa's the toughest man I ever knew in my life.
It's really his grandfather who inspired him to save up and buy this well a few years ago. It taps into this vast reserve of oil that is deep under the ground underneath Oklahoma and Kansas. It's about a half mile down. It's called the Mississippian layer. And basically this pump unit plunges a metal rod into that layer, and then with each stroke, it pulls out a little bit of oil.
In its day, this well might have been a gusher. But now it only produces a barrel or two of oil a day.
And that's probably why Jason was the sole person willing to sell us oil, because these wells are known as stripper wells. They're operated by independent guys like Jason who are trying to make just a little bit of money before the oil runs dry. This one may stop at any time.
The most majority of the Mississippian crude has already been burnt in your car, yes.
So this is like the bottom of the milkshake.
Yeah, the tail end, the bottom of the milkshake. I like that.
Got to suck that much harder.
You got to work harder to get it out of the ground.
It's all in pipes, but since we are here to buy oil, like, we want to see the oil.
Yeah, we want to see the bottom of the milkshake.
So he turns this little tiny faucet on the side, puts a bucket underneath, and out pours a lot of water, which is what's in the ground, and a little bit of oil.
Oh my gosh. It is the color of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a good latte.
can we touch it? Is that cool?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, it's cool. Oh, that feels really weird. This is our oil, right?
Right now it's my oil.
I thought this was
gonna
like,
be your oil.
I thought this was like handshake country.
Oh yeah, it is, but we haven't shook hands yet.
Jason seems to remember that this is an actual oil deal, and so he switches into this salesman mode. He is super proud of his oil. All oil, he says, is not the same. Some of it is dirty and gunky, but look at my stuff.
It's sweet oil. It's good oil. It's light oil. It's not thick. It's not heavy crude. It's the sweet crude, what people want.
Like Saudi Arabian oil good?
No. I'm not sure about Saudi Arabian oil, but it's good for these parts of the world.
He's super into it. He takes us over to see the tank, which is this huge black cylinder about twice our height. And he says, take a look inside.
Oh, that's deep. Can you yell something down there?
Hello?
I don't know. It looked okay to me.
It looked okay to me, too. He says it's sweet oil, which means it's pretty valuable. It doesn't have to be processed very much to turn into gasoline.
And Jason owns this well with a partner. They paid $60,000 for it. And right now, it's actually turning a profit of about $15,000 a year.
It's a great business, unless the oil runs out, or your pump breaks down, or you lose a finger, or you're struck by lightning.
Or the price goes down. Over the last few years, Jason has watched the price of oil go crazy. It's spiked, it's plunged, and a lot of that has been because of fracking, which has flooded the market with American oil. And Jason said it is getting harder and harder to justify owning these oil wells.
There's times I've thought about getting out of it, but then you can't sell it for nothing. It's not worth anything. You know, it's not worth the value it was. So you think, well, I'll just get through a little further and get down the road a little longer and the price will come up. And if I want to sell, don't sell when it's low. We know that. You got to sell when it's high. Well, then the oil comes back up and you think, man, things are good. And why would I sell now? We're making money. Everything's going good. And then so you're just on that roller coaster and you either just, you know, stay on or get off. And I've stayed on. So,
which sounds good to me. Let's get on the roller coaster. Let's negotiate the price for our 100 barrels of oil.
And we actually thought this would be pretty easy. I mean, after all, there is a global price for oil. You hear about it on the news all the time. It's not a secret. And in fact, while we were driving over to Jason's well, we heard on the radio that the price of oil was going down. And we were excited. We thought, this is good for us. This is a good time to buy oil.
We are going to make money. But when you actually get out to the oil patch and you try and do a deal like this, you realize that there are all of these slightly different prices that people are paying for oil. Jason pulls out his smartphone, starts to look at it.
It takes a while down here. We're in bad reception. There we go. Now it'll pull up.
Okay.
Then we can see here all the prices. So Kansas Common, South Central Kansas, Eastern Kansas, Nebraska.
Every place has a different price, and some of them are really different. So, for instance, Kansas Common costs around $33 a barrel.
Wyoming Sweet costs $6 less than that.
But of course, Jason isn't pointing to the cheap one. He is pointing to the most expensive column.
The one at the top.
Oklahoma Sweet. That's our column. Right now, the average on Oklahoma Sweet is $41.83 for the month.
I thought it was Kansas Sweet, though.
Yeah, we are in Kansas.
Yeah, we are in Kansas.
Are you pulling a fast one here?
Why should we pay Oklahoma Sweet prices?
Because that's what the other oil truck that'll come, if you don't get it, will pay me.
It's at this moment that I realize that we do not have a lot of negotiating power since he's the only person who will sell to us in all of Kansas.
We're starting to get a little worried and kind of give each other these looks. And Jason kind of steps in and starts explaining like, no, you don't understand. Actually, my oil is worth more than your typical Kansas Sweet because I'm so close to the border with Oklahoma.
The more southern Kansas you are, the sweeter your crude is, the more they pay.
So it's like location, location, location?
Yeah.
A huge part of the cost of oil is transporting it. And the cheapest way to transport oil is by pipeline. So basically, if your oil is close to a pipeline, you get a higher price for your oil.
And Oklahoma is the pipeline capital of the United States. And Jason points out his oil well is only about a 5-minute drive to the Oklahoma border.
Okay, so that seems legit. But I pull out my phone, I check. Oil prices are dropping as we are doing this negotiation.
Yeah, $41.83 seems high.
It's in a dip. It's on the way down. It's headed the
so
down.
So you're thinking like $41.80, probably.
Well, you just knocked 3 cents. You just knocked 3 cents off of that.
I feel you. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, it's probably.
I mean, the deal, like, if
you buying lunch?
I will definitely buy lunch.
If you get it for $41.
$41 if I buy lunch?
Yeah.
Well, wait. Okay.
Okay, if this is an oil deal, I have to say I did not picture like two guys on cell phones. This is making me a little sad. I wanted spitting in the dirt or something. Yeah. Fist fight?
This is my first time doing a negotiation, so I am trying hard at this point.
I'm sorry, Robert. It just came into my head.
Now, to be fair, oil deals are almost never done this way anymore in person. Normally, the bids are on computers. There's long-term contracts. But doing it in person did give us one more card that we could play. It still seems a little bit expensive, so I'm gonna show you something here that might help you change your mind, maybe lower it a little bit.
I see. Oh, yeah, cash money. Yeah.
Jason is beaming now, and he tells us that there are some less than ethical folks out here who would give us a pretty big cash discount.
Because they wouldn't have to report their profits on their taxes, and Jason swears, oh, no. I'm not that kind of person.
But he says he will budge a little.
If we do it in cash, can we get 40? Go down to 40?
40? Yeah, I'd probably do that.
Let's do the handshake. All right.
All right, deal.
That was like a $4,000 handshake.
I don't trust you, but let me count this. It'll be all right.
Now they're new. They're like new bills.
Well, thank you, sir.
The deal's done.
Jason does not get all the money. He has a business partner who owns a share of the well. Also, the farmer whose land the well is on gets a cut. And there will be paperwork.
There will be lots of paperwork. But a handshake is a handshake.
So wait, do we officially own the oil now?
You officially own the oil now. 100 barrels of the oil.
Robert Smith, we did it. We bought oil.
High five.
Woo!
The curse is reversed.
Well, assuming, of course, that the ground eventually dries out and the oil truck can eventually get in to get our oil out of the tank.
It will be a very short series if we don't. Coming up on the next Planet Money, we got the oil. Now we got to transport it, refine it, set our price, and sell it. Let us know what you thought of today's show, or if you'd like to buy some oil. We have 100 barrels of it. You can email us, planetmoney@npr.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. We are at Planet Money.
Robert, we got to go out and do this fun deal in the field.
That was the best part of this.
It was really fun. But there were many, many months of work and toil and phone calls that went into this. And most of those were done by Alex Goldmark, our senior producer, and Jess Jang, our producer, also Nick Fountain, who, incidentally, produced today's show. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Every week, they talk about the new books and movies and TV shows out in the world, and they have great discussions with people like Trevor Noah and Shonda Rhimes. So check it out on the NPR One app or at npr.org/podcasts.
I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for listening.
If you could sign this just as a receipt that I handed you that money.
Okay.
This is on like a reporter's notebook.
I mean, I figured, I'm good on a handshake, but NPR is going to want to see something.
It's a very nice signature.
You're getting right, plus lunch.
I like that you're focused on lunch. I'm also focused on lunch.
Yeah, I'm getting dry. I'm kind of parched here.
Is there, a typical lunch place that you go to after an oil deal?
A close one.